Sweet hour of prayer. That last line gets me every time. This robe of flesh, I'll drop and rise to meet him in the sky. Oh. What a day that's going to be. We're in Luke chapter 18 this morning. If you want to go ahead and turn there, we'll be in Luke chapter 18. And it always amazes me. I didn't give Thomas the message title. I didn't say, here's what we're singing. I said, pick some songs, Thomas, and he did. And title of this morning's message is prayer. Now, in chapter 17, just to give you a little backstory here, Jesus was asked by a Pharisee when the kingdom of God would come. We've talked about flying away today. We've talked about this robe of flesh will drop and rise. We long for the coming of our Savior. We long for that coming kingdom. And they did as well back then. They were longing for their Messiah. When is the kingdom of God coming? Now, they expected their Messiah to come and conquer Rome so they could be Israel again. They could be their own nation. They didn't look at it as the way God looked at it. See, God's kingdom is something bigger, something different than what we think. Jesus answered him and says, basically, you won't see anything specific. It's not like there's a sign. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom, it's here. Today's the day. Although people have written many, many books about when the kingdom will return. And he even told him, he says, those who tell you that they know, don't listen to them. But signs of the times, there will be signs. One of the signs that he gave us will be like in the days of Noah and in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I wasn't around when Noah was, and I wasn't around when Sodom and Gomorrah, but from what I read in Scripture, I think we're pretty close, don't you? What seems to be going on in this world today seems a lot like it was back then, according to the Scripture. Basically, there's a whole lot of sinning going on without a whole lot of repenting going on. There's a whole lot of things that the world has now called okay and said, no, this is fine, don't worry about it. But we know it's not to be of God. It is sin. He tells him again, you must forget all that you own and don't look back. Remember Lot's wife, what happened to her? She got real salty real fast, didn't she? She couldn't focus on moving out, moving ahead. She wanted to look back to the old way. He even tells him, you've got to be willing to lose your very, very life. And he says, look, two will be together, one will be taken. He starts with, there'll be two in bed, one will disappear. There'll be two in the field. Can you imagine? Now, I kind of joked earlier about it'd be great to be around a couple of sinners when Jesus returns and be able to grab them, but that's not really how Scripture says it's going to be, is it? It's going to be like lightning. As lightning flashes across the sky, in other words, we're going to be sitting here 1 minute and we're all going to be gone. And I pray and hope and believe that if Jesus returned right now, this would be a very empty church. But I don't know. That's my belief. And I hope it's the truth. But you could be at work one day, boss talking to you. Jesus returns. Boss standing there looking at an empty chair. Could be at the grocery store. Walk up, you know they always ask, did you find everything okay? Sir, where'd you go? That's how it's going to happen. This is the context that we get. This has happened right before Jesus now brings this in. And in chapter 18, verse 1, this is what he says. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Now, Holman Christian says that the need for them to pray always and not become discouraged. Verse 2, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, he will really find faith on the earth. Will he really find faith on the earth? Verse 9. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Gee, I wonder who he's talking to. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes toward heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you speak to us, teach us this morning. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Now, Jesus has given us a couple of parables here. Okay, the first one is this judge, this unjust judge that he talks about. This guy neither feared God nor feared man. He did what he wanted to do. He wasn't worried about anything. And I think you'll find a lot of people in power nowadays, that's really how they are. All right, they don't care about what truth is, what scripture is. They don't care about what this is. They don't fear people. They have the power. They can do whatever they want to do. God calls him an unjust judge. But she's asking this widow, to get justice. Now understand, as a widow, your rights were very limited. It was a patriarchal society. Men kind of ruled the day. That's just kind of how it was. And as a widow, unless she had a son that would step up or somebody that would step in, it was hard to hear, to be heard even. But she was not going to be deterred. I don't know what the situation was. We don't know what the adversary was. And it really doesn't matter for the sake of this parable. But the judge, who doesn't care about God, doesn't care about what people think of him, what did he say? I'm going to give her what she wants, because she's about to flat wear me out coming and asking me. That's a paraphrase, obviously. So as we look at this story, one of the first things I think of that we need to know today is do not get discouraged when you pray. Number one, do not get discouraged when you pray. Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? We pray. I've often wondered, because it seems like prayers weren't answered. God, did I pray the wrong thing? Did I say what did I do? I've mentioned it before with Caitlin. As she's laying in the hospital bed in a coma, the doctors have said she's gone, she's dead. It's just the machines keeping her alive. I serve a God who's not listening to that. I know God could have opened her eyes right then and there, could have healed her perfectly. No problem. She could have bowled up, just taken everything off and walked out of the hospital. That's the God I serve. I have that kind of faith. I believe it. But it didn't happen. I sat for days and days and days with a father who was dying of cancer. And you hear it, you try not to worry about it. You try not to think. You want to rejoice for other people, but you hear of other people that have similar cancer or cancers or whatever, and then the church prays for them, and people pray, and all of a sudden they're healed, they're better, they walk away. My father died. Why? sometimes it is hard not to get discouraged when we pray, isn't it? But see, the problem is we don't understand what God is doing half the time. I mean, we know He loves us. We know He's got the best for us. We know He has a plan. That doesn't mean I get it. It's like reading assembly instructions from IKEA. You have no idea what you're doing. It's half the time, right? You're just going along. You're trusting that somehow this is all going to come together. But we're not to get discouraged when we pray. This woman, I'm sure as she went to the judge, and he said, I'm not listening to you. I'm not hearing your case. No. No. How do you think she went home that day? He's never going to hear my... What happens when we get discouraged? We give up. Now, is it natural to get discouraged? Yeah. Yeah, we talk about it. I mean, I'm very honest about weight, all right? Because I can't hide it. All right, but, you know, it's the reality. I mean, we've been on the diet where I lost over 50 pounds. I was looking skinny. I was almost back to my original fighting weight back from the old days, man. I was good. You know, then all of a sudden you have one of those, you lost 5 pounds, you lost 6 pounds. You gained a pound. Wait a minute. You didn't lose anything. Now you start getting discouraged, right? And what you find out, especially in like diets, is you become an emotional eater. I'm upset. What's going to make me feel better? Ice cream works. And it becomes that cycle, doesn't it? I had a gallon of ice cream. Now I gained 2 pounds. Well, I need more ice cream. See what happens? We get discouraged. We want to give up. When we're praying, when we're seeking God, sometimes we don't see the answer. It's very easy for us to give up. And the other thing is that we have to understand that we have an adversary in this world. All right? Make no mistake about it. Satan is very real. Satan is very at work. But Satan is also very defeated. But that doesn't prevent him from talking to us. That doesn't prevent him from going, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. You're not that good. Oh, you said the wrong thing when you witnessed to that person. It's no wonder they didn't want to accept Jesus. Right? We pray. You're not praying right. But don't get discouraged when you pray. What are we supposed to do? Well, number two, faithfully and persistently go to God with your prayers. Faithfully and persistently go to God with your prayers. I'm just imagining this widow being kicked out of the judge's court going, wait a minute, I ain't taking this. I bet bright and early the next morning when the judge was back in chambers, she was at the door. You again? Yes, sir. Get her out of here. After lunch, she was probably back. You're not going away, are you? No, sir. Now, I've said it before, can we really change God's mind? And that's one of those questions that sometimes is hard to answer because the answer is yes and no. Because I think God has a plan, God has a will, God has something designed, and if it's not part of His will or His design and His plan, He's not going to do it. No matter how much we try. But I think Scripture tells us there's many times that people have prayed, people have put themselves before God and repented, and God says, fine, I'll let this happen. Now again, we can't explain it in our limited explanation of things, except to say, God changed His mind, right? And if my limited mental capacity tells me that God can change His mind because I've seen Him do it in Scripture, then guess what? I'm going to hold on to that. If I need something, if I've got to go to God for prayer and we're seeking God and the answer's not coming, I'm not giving up. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to struggle. I'm going to wrestle with God. until he changes his mind. Faithfully, persistently. Anybody ever had one of them little kids that came up to you? Daddy, 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 mommy, 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 shut up, right? Our kids were never that, I don't think they were that bad, were they? Sometimes you block things like that, don't you? But you know them. You've seen them too, right? Anybody ever had that kid that's going to pitch a fit? I'm going to hold my breath till I get my answer. Oh, gosh. Right? You're just laughing. It don't last long, does it? Can I have? Can I? Well, can I? Can I? Oh. Boy, and one answer to a question, why? We all know those, right? We've all had that child. We've all experienced that child. Even if you didn't have them yourself, you know of some kid. Why is the sky blue? Well, see what happens is, why? Well, because, why? Well, see what happens, and why? Because I said so. That's what it ultimately comes down to, right? I think we do the same thing with God, right? I want you to do this. Why? Because I want you to. Why? And eventually God goes, because I said so. Faithfully, be persistent. Go to God with your prayers. Hold on. Don't let go. The judge said, her continual coming, she would weary me. She was wearing him down. I pray that we just, when we pray, we go before God and we wear him down. Now, understand is that Jesus introduces this parable as an unjust judge. Because the reality is we don't serve an unjust God, do we? We serve a just God. A God who loves us above all things. Who wants the best for us. Who is going to do these things. Who hears the cries of his people. Is willing to listen, is wanting to listen, is wanting to be with us, is wanting to answer our prayers. And I think what you find as we struggle and as we fight and we pray, it's not really us changing our mind. Really, I think what happens is we get into the struggle and we get into the unrelenting, faithful pursuit of God in prayer. We find that that begins to change and shape our thought process. To where it's not really us changing God's mind, our mind becomes changed by God. To where our prayers now are, this is what God wants. Because I think about it, and again, not to always bring up children and food, but one of the things you can do is, hey, do you want to go to this healthy restaurant, or McDonald's? Kid, McDonald's, right? You give them the option. Now, if you're one of those that you really want to go someplace, sometimes you play that, hey, you know what? I like McDonald's too. Hey, do you want to go to McDonald's? Or then you throw the place you really don't want to go in, right? Or the spinach shop. I'm glad there's not a restaurant called the spinach. That would be gross. Popeye would love it. But anyway, all right. What is the kid going to do? Ooh, McDonald's sounds good. We were on a call yesterday and wasn't even thinking about it. But somebody said the godly words Chick-fil-A. Guess where we went for dinner last night? Chick-fil-A. You know, and I think as we struggle with God, as we wrestle with God and we're asking Him and we're seeking Him, our mind begins to get locked into what He is really asking us to do. You think about the Old Testament where He wrestled with God overnight. If you've ever wrestled with somebody, you do wrestle and kind of stay in one spot. No, you wind up all over the place. you're rolling all around and everything else. Sometimes in our wrestling, God is moving us to where He wants us to be before He lets us up. Number three, God hears our prayer, and in His time, the answer will come. God hears our prayer, and in His time, the answer will come. That's why we have to be consistently persistent. In time, the answer is going to get there. Now, I don't know about y'all, but it's never fast enough, is it? No. And see, and that's the hard part, because we're dealing with an eternal God who does not worry. Time is not a constraint for Him. He is not locked in by time. We are, aren't we? We only have 24 hours a day, don't we? God doesn't have a day. The twinkling of an eye is but 1,000 years to God. For us, life is but a vapor. See, and that's, we look at everything in the issue of, I got to have it now, I got to have it now, I got to have it now. I want to see this happen before I die. I want to do this before I'm too old to do that. We always have some sort of time limit on what we seek, don't we? I need to go on vacation before I run out of money. There's always something. See, God's not bound by that. And that's the hard part we have, is we're rubbing up against a God who's not operating under the same currency and the same time limit and everything else that we are. The good news is He knows exactly when to release it for us, doesn't He? Pastor, why did you want to be a pastor? Well, God called me to be a pastor when I was a junior in high school, between my junior and senior year. Why were you almost 50 years old before you became a pastor? Because God knew I couldn't have done it back 30 years ago. Well, 30 years ago, I'd have been 20. No, hey, God knew I couldn't have handled it. He needed time to work on me. Why doesn't God answer? Because He knows you're not ready. The pieces aren't in place around you. God's not going to give you a halfway answer, is He? What's our job? Seek Him. Pray. 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 And be ready for the answer to come. If you look at just about every one of these, now again, remember, this is the context of when will the kingdom of God come? And He's actually telling them, when you pray, be ready for the kingdom of God to come. This is what you're praying for. You have to be ready. All the parables He talks about, the owner of the home would have stayed awake and watched had the thief come. The bridesmaid would have been ready, the lamps lit and trim. All of these things are talking about being ready. Are you ready for God to answer the prayer? We pray it. Half the time we pray something, and we're like, you know, even when we pray, like, Lord, we can't wait for the day for You to return. God, we want You to return, and we long to be in Your arms. But then somewhere in the back of our mind, do we really mean that? We say, Lord, we want You to return. However, if we were able to read this fine print in the back of our conscience, most of us are probably going, well, I want to see my grandkids grow up. I want to see my kids get married, and I want to have, because there's things that we want in this life, right, that are blessings. There's nothing wrong with that. We want these things, don't we? But what's the greater thing? What do we really, what's going to be better than Jesus coming back? Nothing. I don't care how many weddings you go to, how many grandkids, great-grandkids, great-great-great, whatever. Ain't none of it going to be better than Jesus, is it? Are you ready for God to answer your prayer? Because when the time is right, He's going to answer it. The second parable, I like how He introduces it. He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves. And I hope nobody's ever prayed like this Pharisee. Lord, be with her. She is such a sinner. She needs you. So that's what this guy did. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like that heathen right there, that I am not like that tax collector. What was the first problem with the Pharisee's prayer? Who was it really about? It was about him, wasn't it? Lord, I thank you that I am not. I give my I. The only recognition the tax collector had of himself was what? He wasn't worthy to be in the presence of God. So the fourth thing that you need to know today is approach God with the right attitude. We need to approach God with the right attitude. Tax collector was beating his chest. That was a sign of remorse and grief. And I mean like bad grief, bad anguish. Almost like tearing the clothes were for the Jewish people. He wouldn't even look up. He didn't even feel worthy to go, God. But you can see the Pharisee, can't you? Standing in the temple within his robe. God, thank you. In the loud voice, probably his best radio voice too. Heavenly Father, I thank you that. Put the deep, nice, golden voice on there. And there's that sinner. God, be merciful. God, just forgive me. Be merciful to me, God. What did he ask for? That was it. He asked for God's mercy. He didn't say, God, I need this. God, bless me with this. God, give me, give me, give me. He says, God, forgive me. Have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. That right attitude. We used to tell children, teenagers, you know, and we've all had these. We've all, you know, you've got the model prayer that churches like to repeat and, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be, you know, and that becomes that repetitious prayer. And there's nothing wrong with that. It is a good model. I think it's a good model for how we to pray, and it's we're supposed to take the components of it, not pray it exactly that same way, I think, every time. That's just me. But we have our church prayers, don't we? Heavenly Father, thou... We use the church words, we try to put the structure in place and try to say the right things. One of the scariest things you can ever do is like on, you know, Youth Sunday or something, or invite a little kid up to pray. You never know what's coming up, do you? But it's fun. Because aren't they just honest? Sometimes they're too honest. They'll start telling your business right there in front of everybody. Dear God, be with my mama. She yelled at me this morning. Shut up, boy. You know, I mean, just. I think, wonder which way God would rather us pray. That heartfelt, sincere prayer, or just those words we say all the time. We all fall into it. This is not a judgmental point in the sermon. I'm not saying you're a horrible person if you, because we all do it. I tell you, blessing for a meal, that's one of the hardest ones, isn't it? Because we want to get to our food. God bless us. But it's so easy to God, thank you for this food. In the hands that prepared it. Amen. Over and over again. I'll never forget, as a child, went to a friend of mine's house, had like a little family reunion going on, and they were going to let my friend pray in front of everybody. Dad looked at him and said, John, yes, sir, you offer the blessing. Everybody bowed their head. My friend John just looked up, said, over to Gimsky's, over to Gumsky's, look out, Tumsky's, here at Kumsky's. John got a whooping that day. The rest of us were on the ground dying. It was hysterical. And apparently his grandfather had told him that at one point in time, so he thought it was okay to repeat that and say it to everybody. But that was not the blessing his father was looking for. And it was the most ridiculous thing you ever heard. It's like good food, good meat, good gosh, let's eat. I mean, it was, you know, that same thing. It was not a blessing for anybody. Yeah, I didn't see John for about an hour. But it was straight out honest, wasn't it? He didn't know any better. We couldn't have been more than 8 years old, 9 years old. They didn't ask him to pray for years after that, though. But we got to approach God with the right attitude. And as I told you, we used to tell the youth, it's like, you don't have to do that church prayer, but you do have to remember who you're talking to. I've heard youth people try to be cool and go, oh yeah, you can talk to God like he's one of your friends. No, you can't. He's not, he is a friend, but he's not one of your friends. All right? You can't start, yo, what up, God? I mean, you can. If you don't know any better, maybe. I think God's just happy to hear from you. But at some point, you got to remember who you're talking to. This is the creator of the universe. God above all. He demands respect. He demands worship. Because he's the only one worthy of it. We have to have the attitude. We have to remember it's not about us. And that's probably the hardest thing when we pray. And there's nothing wrong with asking for ourselves, is there? I mean, Jesus in the garden said, God, could this cup pass from me? But not my will, but whose? Yours, Father. It's okay to say, God, I need you to help me do this. God, I need you to do this for me. But God, most of all, I lean into you. It's your will that I want to follow. What is our attitude when we pray? If we exalt ourselves, God says we'll be humbled. I don't want to be humbled by God. Every time in Scripture somebody's been humbled, it has not come out well, has it? Think of Jonah. Where did he wind up? Swimming with the fishes. He was in the belly of a whale for 3 days. It happened to David. He lost children because of his sin. Moses couldn't go into the promised land. Humble yourselves before God. Pray. Don't be discouraged. Be faithful, persistent. And as our will lines up with how God's will is, we're going to get an answer. And I'll say it again, I'll say it always. God always answers prayer. He may not answer the way we want him to, but he always answers it yes, no, not yet, right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We thank you that you hear our prayers, God, that you love us. God, I pray that you just help us to seek you, to seek your will. Give us the strength to hold on. The strength to push through. To not get discouraged. Because you know, we know you love us. You proved that on the cross of Calvary. As you shed your blood for us, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, if there's anyone who has never given their life to you, God, I pray that you just speak to them, that you draw them to you right now. If there's anyone that needs prayer, we just lift them up to you today, God. Maybe somebody's struggling with something, dealing with something. Holy Spirit, speak to them. Jesus, thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.